pray as we open up the Word this morning. Lord, thank you so much for your Word, Lord, that cleanses us, that heals us, that redeems us, that gives us a future, that gives us a hope, Lord, that seeks us out, that challenges us, that encourages us, that teaches us. Lord, we ask that you would do all those things, not just like a classroom, but that deep work in our heart that changes us and transforms us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Like I mentioned before, and some of you are aware, that this last week, Jackie and I had a chance to go to our Foursquare National Convention in Denver, Colorado. And what I love about being a pastor, that's one of the benefits that I really like. Our church, part of the tithes and offerings, we put a little bit aside to pay for the airfare and the hotel for that, doing that. And I like it because I go places that Jackie and I wouldn't get to go to otherwise. And this last year, last week it was in Denver, Colorado, and next year we're already signed up because you get the discount rate, you sign up early, for San Antonio, Texas. And so it's been the one that we haven't in recent years haven't gone to is right when I started pastoring here. It was in Hawaii. And just a brand new pastor, a new church, I'm like, A, the finances weren't there yet. And B, it's just like, you know, you're trying to get things going and stabilized. And so that was the one we've missed in the last 20 years or so. But it is such a great opportunity to come and share those spirit-filled worship, you know, and spirit-initiated messages and just fellowship with other pastors who are there and leaders as you develop relationship over time. A lot of them that I know from our Northwest district were other youth pastors. As I got trained at camp during the summer, and our Foursquare owned a camp up on the gorge in Corbett, Oregon. And it was cool. And all of them are lead pastors now at churches around. And in addition to, you guys had met James and Lauren Palfrey, who brought our church planters in Idaho. They came and preached here and brought their family. And so we had a chance to hang out with them and share several meals and worship with them. And my friend from Dallas, Oregon, Stacy and Darren Hausler, and share a few meals with them. And it just is really encouraging, those places where nobody knows your pain. I was sharing with somebody earlier about moms have a bond that us guys will never understand. You know, nor do I want to understand, quite honestly. But and there's things that you experience, and pastors do have a bond. Because we may not worship together, you know, be in a church together, but we know that we're walking out the kingdom in different ways, facing challenges. And as you look around the room here, that you can know that there should be a bond that we have as believers, knowing that we too are each walking out our faith and difficulties that we have during the week and learning and growing. We want a bond to understand, God, we're not alone in this. There's other people going through struggles like we are. And so we see people who come to church, it's not because things are going amazing. They may be, praise the Lord. But we're coming here because we know the one who has life, and we get to worship him. I just think about if you've ever gone to a church retreat or a camp situation where they call it the mountain high. And it's not like in altitude or not being high from smoking weed or something. But we're talking about a spiritual high, where you're like, oh, God met us there. You know, and I know as I've gone to different things, it's like the speaker selling the book, you're buying the book. And go to Foursquare conferences and you're like, I'm getting the whole digital download of every single message. And, you know, and then you go home and the book sits on the desk. You know, and then you never download the message or video. And I don't want that to happen. I want to, as I experience God coming to that place It's why I take notes. I whether I'm sitting here and Rich is preaching or something else, I'm taking notes because God is saying something and I want to remember it. And part of just remembering is the exercise of writing it down, but also because I go back and look at it. And it's why I tell you guys, when God is speaking to you, tell somebody about it. Write it down. Tell somebody about it. Because if you don't, we, just the busyness of life, it's amazing the kind of things we can talk ourselves out of if we don't share it with somebody and make it a reality. You know, continued my relationship with the church planter from Idaho, we started a weekly telephone for an hour, hour and a half. We talk every week and just share about what's going on, challenges in our church or personally. And then we share some things. Part of that is sharing, hey, God's talking to me about this thing. Would you ask me about it next week? And then it's why I've shared with some of you what's going on, so that you'll come and ask me later about it. What's going on about that? That we get to have those kind of things when God speaks to us, to be intentional about telling somebody. My wife, she's so funny, and she goes, God's talking to me about something, but I don't want to tell you what it is. I'm like, why don't you want to tell me? She says, because you'll bug me about it. It's like, I said, well, that's the reason. I said, I'll pray that the Lord would make me gracious, so I won't bug you about it in an unspiritual way, but that I would say, well, what about this? You said this. What are you doing? What is going on with that? What does that look like? Because I want and need that challenge in my life as well, to say, hey, how's that going? What did you do about it? You said you were going to do something. Did you yet? We need that. And so to share with people what's going on. When I go to lunch with friends, we were there, we would talk about the message. And it's like, so that it's what you talk about, what you process is what you remember. You know, I just was sharing somebody too about journaling. I didn't grow up as a big journal. I remember when that started to happen. SOAP, scripture, observation. What was the A?
Application,
thank you. Wow. Apparently, I've been soaping lately. Application and prayer. And there's some other acronyms that you may use, and I'm using some other ones right now. But I was not a good journaler. I just like, that's just, I can't, you know. But recently I have been journaling, because I realized that I can have a thought about something and I'll write it down. The Holy Spirit says, just write down what it is you thought. But as I write down what the Lord's talking to my heart about, I start to go, oh yeah, and this thing about that. Oh, and this thing about that. Next thing you know, I got like a paragraph or even a page in my journal, because there was a lot more in there that God wants to work with. And so whether it's a conversation or whether you use journaling to do those practices, and I know you may say, I'm not a writer, I'm not a reader, but God is. God's a writer and a reader. And to take, because whatever you lay out there in front of the Lord, He'll expand and grow it. I encourage you, because I've experienced it in my own life. You know, and there's some of you very prolific, you know. My wife writes regularly and a lot. And I don't as much as her, but I am growing in how much I do, and I do regularly. And even in my phone, as I sat in those messages, wrote down things that the Lord was doing and reminding me of and challenging me on it so that I wouldn't forget. As we came together in this four square, they call them four square connections. The idea of just relationship, to connect with God and connect with each other. But you can say a conference or a convention. There was about 3,300 people that came together there in Denver. And about 600 of those were youth, kids, pastor's kids, PKs, from little guys to teenagers, high school, some college. And they have their own connection, where they had their own worship, their own speakers and activities, and they invested and spent some really quality investment in them. And it was fun to see, hear the testimonies from them. And then again, like I said, they led the worship team. One of the youth teams led the last session of worship time. It was really cool. We have about 18,890 churches in the U.S. And this last year for 2024, there are about 145 church plants. And what's amazing is you add up all, and we were able to add a few to this number, but over 55,000 salvations in the U.S. And the reason why I qualify in the U.S. is because Foursquare is a lot bigger outside of the U.S. Like I said, about 1,900 churches here in the U.S. And when you combine with the world, there's over 66,000 congregations and meetings that take place, Foursquare meeting places throughout the world. And it's amazing to come together. It's why I invite our leadership team to come to our district conferences that we have, whether it's in Portland or Eugene or in Bend or in our area. And this next year, it's in Billings in October, and we've got a team that are going to go rent a house and fly or drive over there. And if you're interested, it's just one of those places to find out we're a part of something way bigger than what we see right here in this room and here in Lebanon. And that's encouraging. I need that encouragement to know that you're part of something so much bigger. As we look for wisdom to be prayerful and intentional about pursuing the Lord, His power and impact in our community, I was just reminded of Psalms 127:1. Unless the Lord builds His house, the builders labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the guards stand watch in vain. As we want what happens, and I know you do too, you want your life to be significant. You want what is to come to have amounted to something, not just to have gone through the motion of life, but to have it last and be significant. As we came together in Denver, Pastor Randy Remington is our current Foursquare pastor of the U.S. Church. He began his second term, five-year term. And it is kind of one of those things where you 10 years is a long time, but you do see physically people change. They come in young and they leave old. You know, because it's not just leading the U.S. church, but uniquely, good or bad, the U.S. has a huge influence over the world. And so as he travels throughout the world, even though they have way more churches than I do, they look to the U.S. church. What's going on? What are you guys choosing as priorities? What are you guys doing? What do you see God doing? And right or wrong, like I said, there's a burden that happened not just for the U.S. church, but his influence in the world that happens in that family, the Foursquare family and movement. As we came together, he reminded us of our target of more and growing leaders together on mission. And that has renewed the view, the priority of us being church planters. They got church multiplication now, where I went to one of those sessions. Not only, it's how I, the last time that I met James and Lauren, and committed to supporting them. I think he's 35 now, but all his leaders are 30 and under. And just, you know, being the old guy on the block, sometimes you forget that just your history of faithfulness brings a confidence that they don't have yet. And to come into the room and to share that and ask questions, they are blessed by that. And that's been really cool to participate in that and be invited into that. But as Pastor Randy looked at this next season, say, hey, this is our target, is more and growing leaders on mission together. What is God saying? What is the priorities? He felt like, and the Lord gave him 3 points of focus and growth to prioritize in this next season. And I want to share that with you this morning. I had a message that I prepared before I left, but I was like, this is really good. This isn't just good for the big picture of the Foursquare Church. This is good for me. This is good for our church. And the 3 points of focus and growth that we want to prioritize a Foursquare movement, and what I want to challenge us to prioritize here at our church on the corner of 5th and C is to be a people who are pursuing God's presence, a people who are passing the flame, and a people that are possessing the land. And I just, as I'll unpack these as I just share this morning, but I believe that it's significant in what we are pursuing here at Lebanon Foursquare, to be a people that are pursuing God's presence. Exodus 33, verses 13 to 15. If you are pleased with me, Moses said, teach me your ways so that I may know and continue to find favor with you. Remember that this nation is your people. The Lord replied, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. Then Moses said to him, if your presence does not go with us, do not send us from here. It's God's presence that makes us God's people. Without God's presence, we're not a church. We need to be a people that pursue. You don't just come to church and God's presence is not circumstantial. God comes to people who seek him out with the whole heart and say, God, man, I need you. I want you. And I love what Moses says, man, if you don't go with us, God, we don't want to go. If God's not in this place, if God's presence not evident in this church, I don't want to be a pastor. I don't want to be in this place. I want God's presence for you, for me, for this church. King David recognized that his life, his identity, his ability to do life was dependent on who God was. When Psalms 51:11, he says, do not cast from me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Don't take your Spirit from me. He recognized the difference, because clear back when he got anointed as king as a 16 or 17 year old, and then he didn't, and that the trauma he went through, and did not get ordained as king until he was 30. All that time, clear back here, he recognized it, said from that moment that Samuel poured oil on him, says God's Spirit was with him. God's presence was with him. And Psalms 51 is really about that repentance that he had. It was after he sinned with Bathsheba and murdered her husband that the prophet Nathan confronted him. And David said, I messed up. Understatement. But he said he recognized, and you read those his repentance, he recognized that God's Spirit, God was far from him until he repented. He said, man, I never want to do that again. Lord, I know that pursuing your presence and walking with you will keep me safe. I think about if we don't go with God's presence, if we don't have it, we're just another soundbite. We're just another reel that entertains for a moment and then is quickly forgotten with a new reel that gets replaced. I want to be impactful. I want to be a lasting light in this community. I want to be effective in how I pastor and how I love my wife and how I lessen my irritation. I want to be significant in this world. When you walk without purpose, when you walk out without God's presence, there's no resilience. There's no ability to continue through the storm or opposition. Unless we pursue God's presence, and we will drift. You forget what it is that you're about. We say, God, I need your plumb line. I need to always. I think about, you know, when we did the siding out here, maybe you've done your siding out, so we had a contractor friend come out with a laser. And so he shot the line and marked it so that when we went around the building, which we haven't finished yet, that's our next project, is that it'll match where you started, right? And the same thing you've done with, if you've ever done a fence, that as you go along, you shoot the line. You say, okay, this is where I'm starting. Then you got to keep measuring every few lines. Measure again and to see if you're still level. And the same thing, pursuing God. We need God's presence so we have that constant plumb line. Say, man, are we still on target? It has to be something that you just don't randomly think about, but something that you have to be intentional about. As I've forgotten. I've built a fence and said, man, we haven't brought out the level in a few times, and you don't realize it. Your fence started to grow crooked. It's like, and then you try to straighten it out, and you can't do it all at once, right? Because then you got a big gap. You're gonna like, okay, well, maybe nobody will notice it. You know, that old saying, nobody will see it on a galloping horse, you know, or whatever. It's just those things that we say, God, I want to have a life that lines up with who you are. I want a life that, God, help me to prioritize pursuing you and spending time with you. Think about Paul in 1 Thessalonians, I think 5:19, he says, man, don't quench the spirit, man. Don't allow the spirit's flame to go out. You know, that to be in God's presence, to enjoy it. Because without God's presence, we're not going to have that plumb line to protect us from drifting in our life. When we think about pursuing God's presence, is really what prayer is about. Prayer is pursuing God's presence. Say, God, would you cover me? Would you enter into this situation? It's really... Prayer is not about problem avoidance. And prayer is not about scandal elimination. Prayer is about intimacy with God. To be able to know His heart. To be able to hear Him so that we become brokenhearted about what He's brokenhearted about. Brokenhearted when I'm irritated about something stupid instead of something important. Brokenhearted about somebody's salvation. Brokenhearted about my own sinfulness. And being aware and raising my sensitivity and intimacy. It's why we pray. We started doing once a month prayer and worship nights. So that we can be reminded and say, okay, where's our plumb line? God, we need your presence. We want your presence to grow our intimacy with Him. It's why prayer is so important, is engaging God's presence in our life. Where intimacy with God lives, sin dies. Where intimacy with God lives, sin dies. Anybody here have a sin problem? Where we have a sin problem is a lack of intimacy with God. You want to deal with your sin problem? Grow your pursuit of God's presence. To be aware of what it is, those choices you're making, those false gods that you're paying attention to, instead of the Lord. Having God's presence in our lives will lead us to have the concerns that He does. Not only we talk about this second priority of growth, of focus, is not in pursuing God's presence, but I love this one. It's to be a people that are passing the flame. Fire in the Bible denotes God's presence. And we know it is next Sunday, June 8th, is Pentecost Sunday. The day the Holy Spirit descended on and the church began Acts 2, 1 through 3. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. The flame of God, His presence, landed on everybody. It landed on them, every single one. And it was that flame that began the church that allowed them to walk out the kingdom, empowered them to be the church, right? We see Peter who mouth and no substance became substance with the mouth. And he preached and 3,000 get saved in his first message that he preached. We see that God has given a mission for the church. God didn't create the church and then have a mission. God had a mission to reach the world, and then he says, how am I going to do this? I'm going to create a church for this mission. This flame of God's presence is to be passed. I'm going to pull from Numbers Moses again, Numbers 27, verses 15 to 18, and then 20 and 23. Moses said to the Lord, "May the Lord, the God who gives breath to all living things, appoint someone over this community to go out and come in before them, one who will lead them out and bring them in, so the Lord's people will not be like sheep without a shepherd." So the Lord said to Moses, "Take Joshua, son of Nun, a man in whom is the spirit of leadership, and lay your hand on him. Give him some of your authority, so the whole Israelite community will obey him." Then he laid his hands on him and commissioned him, as the Lord instructed through Moses. Because we are made in God's image, what is it? God, who we are today, the gifts we have, creativity, life, is all a gift from God. And because we're made in God's image, God says, you need to give what you've been given to other people. We get the image of, you know, I think of the Olympic torch, you know, that's coming. You know, that it gets passed from runner to runner and then lights the big bowl at the end of where the beginning of the Olympics starts. That's not the image. It is the torch, but every single believer, right? The Spirit of God came down and landed on one person? No, it landed on the whole room. Every single person, once you confess Jesus as your Savior, He puts His Holy Spirit in you. You have the flame. It's the image of, like, if you've ever gone to a Christmas Eve service or candlelight service, right? You have one person who has the flame, it's lit, and then he passes it to the next. And they pass it to the next. And the first thing, everybody has a flame, and it's lit. And it's only in that place as we become people who pass on the flame that you've been given gifts, you've been given talents, you've been given assignment, you've been given God's Spirit, you've been given God's healing. You know, in that process that you don't get arrive at a place that you're all better. You are arriving, continuing to grow, just like I confess, you know, the holy spiritual pastor who gets irritated at his wife that turns on the shower too early. That is not a spiritual person. I say, God, would you grow me to a place where I'm sensitive and loving and that stuff doesn't even come across my radar. I'm in process. But I know that it's God's Spirit, even as I laugh about and not share that with you, I can share that because I know that I'm growing. And I can only confess that because I'm like, oh, I'm not going to let that bother me. In fact, I pray that I don't even notice it. You know, just that I'll let it go and focus on the things that are important. And I can only share that because I see God growing me, just even being aware of it and saying, God, help me and grow me, that I get to share that with you and you get to share your challenges and your places that you get to grow. Those things that God has planted in your life and say, here's what I was, here's what I am today, here's why I keep growing. That encourages people. I had breakfast with a young friend of mine this Saturday that he shared just really hard stuff that he went through this last week. It just made me cry. But then he shared how he responded to it. And he shared how God came through and brought a redemption to that was just like over off the charts. And it was just in that place where he said, God, you know what, I'm not sure what's going to happen here. But in a sense, he said, if your presence doesn't go with me, I don't want it. And in that moment, God came and, you know, I think he said 15 minutes later, God answered in a miraculous way his situation. I just like, that encouraged me. He's a young guy, and he's been a believer a lot less time than I have, but he passed his flame to me. It's like, oh, God is so good. God is so, so faithful. And how you lived is a testimony and an encouragement because that's a young version. Now that faith that you know, you get to take on to the next situation that looks overwhelming and impossible. And you say, wait a minute. I faced one of those impossible situations before. And God was faithful as I trusted Him. And He verbalized that and said, God, I trust you. If you don't want me in this place, I don't want it. the greatest gift that we can give as an older person is the gift of finishing strong. To pass on our faithfulness by finishing strong. To pass on the flame of God's presence by showing up faithfully to the next generation. I love what Paul encourages Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 to 15. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. That all of those people, I know that I would not be who I am today if it's somebody, those people ahead of me didn't pass their faith on to me, didn't example what it was like. As we come in touch with people who are coming behind us, we get to celebrate their increase and say, God is growing you. That is so amazing that you trusted the Lord in that. That you didn't respond the way the enemy wanted you to, but you responded this way. And even celebrate and notice the decreases where there's failure and sadness, that we come along inside and walk with them through those difficulties. To notice there are things that we get to celebrate, and notice those places that we struggle, that we pass on the flame of faithfulness, so that when they become the older generation, they get to encourage the younger. If we don't pass on the flame, we will have no flame. There will be no fire in this place. I think about just even in that process of, I can celebrate 105 to 45 church plants. The reality of that, there were 96 closures this last in 2024. Churches where for different reasons the flame went out. And if you go back, if you've ever noticed in the seven churches that Revelation talks about, those churches no longer are there. Why? What happened? You could say, oh, it's history. This war happened, that war happened. But say, no, there was something. In fact, if you read Revelation, there was a warning. All but one of those churches had a warning about what they needed to do to get things right with the Lord and pursue God's presence and influence. We need to pass on the flame. It's encouraging for the one who passes, and it's life-giving for the one you give it to. As you get to see the result, it's like, wow, it isn't just my flame. Now there's these flames that are going on because they've got passed on. I love to come to church. I love to sit next to people because it's encouraging. As we get, you know, just like when you get, there's one flame, it's bright, but you join it with another, it gets that much brighter and hotter. I want a place as we come in to a church and fellowship that this would be hot and bright so that we would recognize the impact as we go out in the week. The third focus and place of growth, that we would be a people who possess the land. Numbers 13, verses 31 to 33. But the men who had gone up with him said, we can't attack those people. They are stronger than we are. Talking about the 12 spies that were sent out into the promised land. Verse 32, and they spread among the Israelites a bad report about the land they had explored. They said, the land we explored devours those living in it. All the people we saw are of great size. We seemed like grasshoppers in our own eyes, and we looked to the same to them. How many spies went out? 12. One from each tribe. 10 of them came back with a report about what they saw. Okay? The facts were the same, but the interpretation was different. The two spies who didn't spread that report were Joshua and Caleb. They didn't deny the facts. They said, let's go in and take the land the Lord has given us. Same things that they see, but different interpretation. focusing on what you see rather than God's word leads to fear. It's like, oh my goodness, this is impossible. What's going to happen? I'm going to die. Versus God says, go and do this. Will you trust me? Faith in God's word leads to possessing God's promised land. And for Caleb and Joshua, what defined them, what led their interpretation, was not what they saw. It was God's word. When we go in and possess the land, do you realize that God has already given us the land? We just need to go in and possess it. Not based on what we see, but based on God's word, that we can walk and say, hey, let's go take it. It's like, what, are you crazy? No, I'm believing God. I'm trusting Him and walking out what's impossible. Isaiah 49:6, it's too small a thing for you to be my servant, to restore the tribes of Jacob and bring back those of Israel I have kept. I will also make you a light to the Gentiles, that my salvation may reach to the ends of the earth. It's too small a thing for it to be just about us. It's God came to save the world. Yes, He came to save me. Yes, He came to save you. But it's too great a thing that as we pass on the flame, that there's some land, there's some neighborhoods, there's some co-workers, there's some family members, there's a city that we get to go and possess the land. Romans 1:16, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first the Jew, then to the Gentile. That we walk in that purpose. Say, God, would you help me pursue your presence? Would you show me what intimacy looks like with you? So that I remember years ago, my chiropractor, he would run his hand on my back. I mean, it was one of the first times my back ever went out on me. And I didn't know what to do. The doctors couldn't do anything. They gave me anti-inflammatory pills that did nothing. And so I was like, please, Lord, help me find some. My friend said, you should go see a chiropractor. I'm like, what are those guys? It's like, those. I went, and he ran his hand over my back. He goes, oh, there's hot. That's hot right there. There's some, your muscles hurting. And he pushed his little finger on him, and I went, wah. He goes, oh, there's some tension here. I said, how do you feel that? He says, oh, in my training in school, they would give us, back in the day, they had phone books. They would put a grain of sand in the phone book, and they would keep adding, we'd add pages to see if we could still feel the sand grain. And he says it just raises sensitivity, you know, to heat and to things that are don't belong. That we would be people who are pursuing God's presence, that we'd be sensitive to what's going on. That we had passed the flame of His Holy Spirit and salvation to other people. And that way we'd walk in confidence as, no, I'm gonna be, God's gifted every single person. I believe a few weeks ago I talked about every single one of you is anointed. Every single one of you is ordained. Every single one of you is a follower of Jesus Christ, somebody who has chosen to trust God, has been given a gift to walk out. That you can walk in a confidence. I know some of you, God's been talking to you about some things, but the enemy of your soul and even your flesh that's still being redeemed said, I'm not qualified. You know what I'm talking about? I know God's laid this on my heart, but no, that's not for me. That's for somebody else who's more gifted in speaking, somebody who's walked long in the Lord, somebody who hasn't done the things that I've done. That's the gospel. That is the gospel that qualifies us, that lets us walk in and possess the land. It's why I can stand up here and say, I'm a pastor. not because I'm so good, but because God called me to this. I didn't know God called me. It was a process that I walked out, just like you, little steps and saying, okay, God asked me to do this. I'm going to go do this. Clear back when I was 40 years old, I went to Bible school. I knew God called me to. I had no idea where it was going to lead. I just wanted to grow my faith. And I knew that I was maxed out. Reading my Bible was great. And going to church was great. But I just knew there was something more that I needed. And I just said, I'm supposed to go to Bible school. I shared it with my wife. I shared it with my pastor. I shared it with my mom. I was like in May. And then by, I think it was May of, I want to say 98, before some of you were born. That was May, and by August I was going to school. I didn't know where it was going to lead, and I could have got nervous about it had I thought about it too much. But I was like, I'm just going to go grow my faith. And it started. I turned a Bible certificate turned into a master's degree. So I said, God's doing something here, and I began to see the land that God was calling me to step into. Not because I was qualified, but because He was calling me to it. And I am so thankful, as I believe, God, when you walk in the anointing and calling that God gives you, you will experience a life so far outside of what you will ever be able to navigate, think of, or create on your own. Is because God's Spirit, His supernatural Spirit. The statement was, without the Holy Spirit, everything is superficial. With the Holy Spirit, everything is supernatural. I pray that for you guys, because there's God has planted gifts in you guys that you've been sitting on the sidelines thinking that somebody else better qualified than you. You need to step into it. You're not stepping into your own strength, but you're stepping into God's calling for you. And it is not all at one time. God gives us little steps. Trust me. Oh, that's so big. Trust me. Take the next step. Oh, I can't. I'm not ready for that. Oh, that's too scary. Do you know where that leads? I'm not going to do that. Trust me. Who I am today is lots of little steps of faith. Lots of little steps of faith. The relationship I have with my wife, the relationship I have with my kids is nothing but a miracle. The relationship I have with my siblings, the relationships I had with my parents before they passed away, was walking out the land that God had given me. I see the brokenness out there. And I have brokenness in my life and family too, but what we have has been redeemed by the Lord. Every single one of us, our kids walk with the Lord. We pray together. We talk about spiritual things with my kids, with my grandkids. That's where we are today. But that would have never happened had I not taken those little steps of faith back here. I love this last image. Pursuing His presence. We see the fire. I love it. We see the passing the flame. And we see possessing the land. And we get to take the Holy Spirit with us into the land to take what He's already given us. Let's pray. Lord, I don't want to be just another reel or soundbite for me or for our church. I pray that we would be intentional about pursuing Your presence. That it wouldn't just be about pursuing Your blessing or Your benefits, but pursuing a relationship with You, pursuing intimacy with You, so that what breaks Your heart breaks our heart, so that what we see is what You see. Lord, what You call us to is an affirmation of what You're growing and transforming us in our heart. Lord, so that we're a church that sees that, the flame of the Holy Spirit, just the work that you're doing in our hearts is what we get to pass on. We don't pass on our perfection. We don't pass on our what we hope or our, a mask that we wear. We pass on just the simple touch of what your Holy Spirit is growing in us. And as that, as we confess that, as we celebrate that, we're passing on that Holy Spirit flame to somebody else so that they too can know intimacy with you, so they too can grow in confidence of who you called them to be, so they too would see that it's not about them, but it's about you. Lord, and I pray in that place that we would grab a hold of all those places. Lord, that there would be broken chains of a family dysfunction. Lord, broken places of mental health, that those chains would be broken so that it's not passed on to the next generation, but what gets passed on to the next generation is your Holy Spirit. Lord, so that they can walk out their own faith and their own calling and their own anointing. Lord, I pray that I just look at this church on the corner of 5th and C. Lord, I believe you've called us to a lot bigger things than what we're walking in today. Not that what we're walking in today is so terrible, but that there's a lot of good things going on. But what you've called us to do is so far greater than what we see today. Lord, would you help us to land and depend on your word, not on what we see. Lord, I pray that individually, and I pray that corporately for our church. Lord, that there would be a bright light come from every believer here, Lord, as they walk out. You're pursuing your presence, passing on what they've been given to those younger than them, to possess and become everything that you've called us to. Lord, that your kingdom would come on earth as it is in heaven. Thank you, Jesus.